Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Merry Christmas to all of you, and God's peace be with your families during this season of Christmas. Now we have 12 days, you see. 12 days, not just yank down the tree tomorrow. It's 12 days of Christmas, right? Last night at our lessons and carols that Pastor Rafa did, we quickly went through the scriptural highlights, going from Genesis to Philippians, and heard once again the wonderful retelling of God's promises given and fulfilled in the Word of God. But especially on the words of St. Luke. St. Luke gives us the fullest account of the birth of Jesus. Luke's loved account connects Jesus' birth with history and time. We hear proper names and real people, Joseph and Mary, Caesar, Augustus, Quirinius, the shepherds keeping watch, and then seeking after the visible is invaded by the invisible, and the angels declare God's good news of great joy for all people and peace among those with whom he is well pleased. A real place on a real map, Syria, Nazareth, Bethlehem, and real emotions expressed by those real people, joy and fear and relief. You see, Luke is writing his gospel specifically for, well, Gentiles, people who would have wanted those things to be able to connect their faith to be able to check and see the facts, that this is not something made up out of whole cloth for us to follow. But this Christmas morning, we come to the Word of God given to St. John, and he includes no Mary, no Joseph, no Nazareth, no Bethlehem, no angels or shepherds. For God, through his servant John, lays out both the divine and human origins of our Lord Jesus. John is focusing on the glory of the person of the Word made flesh, the Holy Logos, who is incarnate. Yet by the time the last present is opened, our culture wants to rush on to New Year's, pack up the Christ Mass, and put it away till next year. Not many are interested in the whole 12 days that we as Christians will commemorate. Today, as we gather with often sleepy eyes, particularly if you went to the 10 o'clock like Pastor Rafa, who I'm surprised could even talk this morning after all the reading and singing he had to do last night, but God be praised. Or our focuses are elsewhere, where we have to be after service, right? Another family gathering, or if you have Netflix and Amazon, some football games, or the feeling of sorrow due to separation by distance or death. Traditionally, we are fewer in number than last night, and that tradition held, but it's still great to see all of you here. Some churches have gone so far as to not have a Christmas Day service at all. You see, as their explanation, as I've read some of them, Christmas is a day for family. And apparently, going to church isn't. That's the only thing I could take from what they wrote. So John assumes, and here I hate to say this, but I'm in opposition with Dr. Weinrich. I actually believe that John does assume when he writes his gospel that his readers already know the details of Jesus' birth. What he does provide for us is that the common and everyday are made extraordinary as the Word becomes flesh and lives among us, bringing us light and life. This is the truest meaning of Christmas. Jesus, true God and true man, comes to tabernacle to dwell among us because we are separated from God by our sin. I enjoyed reading Luther's commentary on this. It was interesting because he actually believes that John writes his gospel late. possibly as late as 90 AD. And he's writing it in response to a heretic named Cerinthius, who was an early Gnostic and also somebody who was teaching some early Arian teachings that Jesus was created by God and lesser than God. Luther holds that this is John's response to this heresy. I don't know if I'll go that way with Luther, but I sure love this quote. He says, when talking about, well, the incarnation, this must be accepted by faith. No matter how clever, acute, or keen reason may be, it will never grasp or comprehend the incarnation. If it were susceptible to our wisdom, then God would not need to reveal it from heaven or proclaim it through the Holy Scriptures. So be governed by the fact and say, I believe and I confess that there is one eternal God, and at the same time, three distinct persons. Even though I cannot fathom and comprehend this, for Holy Scripture, which is God's Word, says so, and I abide by what it states. You see, the Word that became flesh to dwell among us is Emmanuel, God with us. He knows what it's like to be rejected. He knows what it's like to be hated, to be hunted even. He knows what it's like to be poor and to be hungry, to be tired and need rest. He came to his own, the text says, and his own would not even receive him. Think about that for a minute. Jesus, the Word who was there in the beginning, through whom all things were made, came to bring light into the darkness of our sin and bring life where only death could reside, and we rejected. We did not receive him. You see, and there's a good reason. Because since the fall, sinful mankind loves the darkness. The Formula of Concord puts it this way in the Solid Declaration 2. The Scriptures flatly call natural man in spiritual and divine things darkness. John 1 Verse 5 says, the light shines in the darkness. That is, in the dark, blind world, which does not know or regard God. And the darkness has not overcome it. Likewise, the Scriptures teach that a sinful person is not only weak and sick, but also finished and entirely dead. Ephesians 2, 1 through 5 and Colossians 2, 13. Formula of Concord, Solid Declaration, Article 2. Paul's a little briefer when he's writing to the Corinthians. He says in 1 Corinthians, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. You see, through God-given faith, we find comfort in the fact that the same God who created in the beginning has now chosen to dwell with us in his New Testament way, with a body and blood that will be sacrificed. This Emmanuel, this God with us, our Lord Jesus the Christ, is God with us in every possible way. No more clouds or pillars of fire, no more burning bushes or thundering voices. Now he's a newborn babe found in a manger. Once he is fully grown adult, cursed by God even, for us that is, as he hangs on the tree of the cross to die our death sentence that is given to him by the righteous judge. This holy God-man is resurrected on the third day. This is the good news of great joy for all people. See why John wastes no time with the baby Jesus and quickly brings us to John the Baptist crying out, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," in verse 29. The incarnate Word dwells among us to be the Lamb of God, that which is given to be sacrificed for us. And that's exactly what He allows to happen as He bears all our sins on Himself. And He dies at our hands, even crying out on our behalf in His dying breath, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You see, the good news for us today is that until the Lord returns, God still works in His fleshly manner. As He brought His message through John the Baptist and John the Evangelist, He still brings His message through your pastors and through each one of us in our daily lives. God bears witness to this mystery so that all men might believe and be saved through faith in God, in the God-man, our Lord Jesus Christ. This is our incarnational joy, for through faith we have seen His glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. His Word is truth. If you want to know what is true, what is certain, what will not change, go to His Word. Don't go to church bodies. Don't talk to pastors you think you might sway by your pretty smiles or whatever their problems may be in their own lives. Go to the Word. What does it say? Sin is still sin. Death is still death. And forgiveness is still forgiveness. Your life and my life become eternal lives because we are forgiven. Not because we are perfect, but we are perfect in Christ. There's your present this morning. There's your gift from God Himself. And no one and nothing can take that away from you. The light always overcomes. It always overpowers darkness. Even the darkness brought by Satan, which is yet in the world in this fallen creation, and manifest by the darkness of our own spiritual blindness, our own unbelief, the death in our bodies, our daily deeds of opposition to God's Word. To this, the light of the world lights up. Our inherited darkness at baptism, as God washes the dark filth away from us, taking our sins away and adopting us as heirs of the kingdom of heaven. God chooses you in His only begotten Son, Jesus, as He did from the very beginning of creation, even before everything was made. God recreates us in His Son's birth. This is what John is proclaiming. But to all who did not receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. But to all who did receive Him, that's completely different there. Who believed in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This work He continues to carry out for you through His holy absolution. I hope you were paying attention. Pastor Rafa said it so wonderfully. Your sins are forgiven. And my sins are forgiven. The holy absolution is even repeated a second time after we receive Christ's body and blood in the Holy Supper. As we take and eat and drink the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the very Word that became flesh to dwell among us, we then receive His blessing. Your sins are forgiven. Depart in peace. Jesus, the Word made flesh, dwells among us in our ears and in our mouths, as Jesus is the fleshly remedy to the darkness of our sin. John states it so beautifully in his gospel, doesn't he? Just a few chapters later, we love it so much. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. And yet we forget this verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So I say to you today, Merry Christmas and God bless. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.